9.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're going to be able to type this in. So here is the way we're going to roll. First, let me say hi to Benny, hi to Olivia, hi to Jessica, hi to all of you.
Howdy, Pat.
Okay, so what happened to me today, Benny?
Yeah.
Jessica, Olivia, this is like cool in preparation for today's show. We're going to be talking about the history, symbolism, and design of over 50 tarot decks. But here's what you're going to have to do when you call in. You're going to call into the show, and you're going to give me a number. And that number is going to go from, almost there. You're going to give me a number from 36 to 221, any number in there. And I'm going to go to that place, and that's going to be your symbol. How fun is that? So if you're watching this on Facebook, okay, so what did I just say? Anywhere from 36, I think we're going to start at 36. 36 all the way over to, there's a lot of information in front of me right here. All the way over to, 221. You pick a number, and we're going to talk symbolism today. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting to think about this. The other day I did an interview, and most of you saw that, with Luke Blue Eagle, and we were talking about the history of crystals, but we were also talking about the symbolism. And we learn about symbols and in so many different ways, right? But when we think about these, the question really is, how is it as humanity, you know, how is it that we have come up with a word like symbols? That's the word we come up with. But what's the meaning of this? And so here's the thing I love about doing a show like this. And I'm going to be pulling from the book, Iconic Tarot Decks, The History of Symbolism and Design of Over 50 Decks, Sarah Bartlett joining me here today. Okay. The other day, I shared a story where I was driving to work, like really, really early, driving to the studios here, and like this whole family of raccoons passed in front of me. And so this morning, I'm driving. I came a little bit later so I could see the road. And just one of them little raccoons didn't make it. They must have been trying to cross without me. That'll teach you. I'm just kidding. But not everybody stops. I mean, I'm a stopper, right? If someone's like in the road, I'm going to stop. I stop for elk. I stop for moose. I stop for little, I don't even know what they're called. They're not chipmunks. They're bigger than a chipmunk, but they're like little things that run across the road. I'm a stopper. But not everybody stops. But there's still symbolism in things. And this is really the kind of cool part today is if you're Sarah, you've gone through, and this is the first book to showcase these iconic decks, both from a historical perspective, bringing us up to contemporary times. That's what Luke Blue Eagle did the other day in the book that he wrote. It wasn't just a book about crystals. And so most of the interview we did together wasn't about the crystals. It was about the lessons, the teaching, and what we bring forward. Last night, I was doing a bunch of things at home, doing some work at home, and in the background was this movie. Right, because I am one of these people that I have to have extrasensory things going on. When I went back to school, if you ever came into my study in my room, like I was really a student at midlife, and so that had to do with being in a small apartment, the whole thing that you go through. But if you ever came into my room back then, what you would find is me like on a computer doing computer stuff. You probably find some kind of music playing through my little iTunes thing, whatever that is, and which I still have, which is ancient. I have one of the original, like, iTunes things. And you probably see the television on, because that is just my jam. That's the way I do it. If you ever came into, like, my room right now, here in our studios, this is my office. This is not home, but it's home. If you ever came in here, I'm surrounded by things that most people, like when Jessica comes to the door, she, like, stands at the door. I have a funny feeling that it's because there's just so many things in here. Even though I have, like, a little chair in there, she just stands at the door. The other reason she probably stands at the door is because if she comes in, she probably knows I'll talk her ear off. But here's the thing about symbols. Are we awake and aware enough about them to pay attention to them? And so I'm watching, there are two things, right, that I was really struck by. I'm really struck by these sound bites now. Having been doing this for a while, if you'd have told me a bunch of years ago, man, Pat, you're going to be so attracted to sound bites, right? So what's a sound bite? I would have said, like, what? Who bit? What? Is that like a tick? What is that? A bite? I would have not, absolutely not have understood what you were talking about. But, you know, it's interesting the way things set us up. This morning I did a pre-record with Courtney, and I was really struck by this, Courtney Cottrell, which you're going to be hearing. And it is about setbacks. And so in 2 days, here is what I've heard message-wise, right? This is interesting for me. If I'm awake and aware enough, I'm taking, let's just say, starting with Sunday to last night, how many things have I heard? Meaning how many things, messages, sound bites, how many things have showed up to make me hit pause for a minute and then ask myself the question, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? So here's what's interesting. Many of you have heard me talk about the movie Dune. Now, I'm not going to give the movie away. It's a remake. Yes, it is. Believe it or not, here's me. I'm what you can call a new mainstream kind of person. I represent the new mainstream. I have one foot in the cultural creatives. I have one foot in greening the earth. I have one foot in holistic living. I also have another foot in pop culture. It's really an interesting place. Sometimes I have to ask myself, okay, which one is showing up today? And that really draws me into both worlds. It draws me into the world of saying, I actually know who these young actors are. And then at the other side, I'm really interested in the symbolism of Tarot. And I love being this because it's a student. But here's the question. Are you all seeing, to take it from a line from Silver Lining Notebooks, are you all seeing the signs? Are you seeing the signs? Do you know what the signs are? Are you seeing the signs? You know, this morning with Courtney, we were talking about how setbacks are really a setup. And I heard that soundbite now minimally three times today. I've heard setback to setup, or setback to opportunity. And so what are the signs that can allow us, and I say allow, because we have to actually give ourselves permission to change, to heal. We have to actually say, okay, dude, Pat, you are going to have permission now to really choose a different way of life, or choose a different path, or choose a different mindset. And I was so struck, and I remember hearing this, oh my gosh, how long ago, when the first Dune movie came out. I don't even know what year that is. Benny can probably look that up in a hot second. But this idea of this quote and thinking about symbolism at the same time really invites us to take an introspective look into our lives. So today's show for all y'all out there is literally this. It is the show, 1984. Okay, thank you, Benny.
Yep.
It's the show that allows us to have a symbol show up and I'm going to do my best to pull one forward for you. Pick a, you're going to pick that number from, what did I say? You're going to pick that number. We're going to go to the symbol.
Sorry, yeah, 36 to 221.
We're going to do that.
Yep.
You're going to get that number. You don't even have to come on the air. You just have to tell Benny what the number
sure.
is. Or in Facebook, just type your number in, and Jessica can get that for me. But here is the deal. I'm a little bit obsessed with something. I'm having a little obsession moment. We're going to take a short break. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what the obsession is all about. It's an obsession that, have you ever had an experience, a deja vu experience, where you either hear something or you see something, but you hear it and you're seeing it's like not the first time, but like there's something inside of this that's going to help us, as Courtney said this morning, it's going to help us set up. It's going to help us move from setback to setup, to help us understand the resilience that we are, to help us understand also that part of our journey here is, as Courtney Cottrell would say, to be unapologetically favored. See, and if we are that, if we truly believe that, then we're not going to be driven any more or any less by what we see. We're not going to have the fear of a bank account that may not look like your brother's or your sister's cause us to shrink back. So what are the symbols that help us move forward? What are these things that allow us to step forward today and just stand up, not unapologetically silent, but unapologetically favored, and picking the symbolism of the moment that we're in? We're going to take a short break when we come back. I'm going to read this quote again, because this thing has been haunting me. It has been haunting me. And how is it showing up, even in the craziest of scenarios? I don't know if you all are experiencing that, but we're going to talk about that when we come back. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show. Is your life stressful and unfulfilling? Would you like to make changes, but you don't know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. I'd like to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer. This is a memoir with questions to help you change your story and live a life that's more pleasing to you. For more information or to purchase this fabulous book, please go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or go to CarlGreer.com.
Imagine starting your week off with a teaching, a clearing, and an activation direct from the God Consciousness. If you would like to feel more in charge of your week ahead, then I personally invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, for our monthly Soul Sunday non-denominational service at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, online or in person. All donations for this event go to the TLC Initiative Fund to help those in need. Sign up now at TracyLClark.com and let's connect together in the glory.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce, and me, Danielle Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh. Find us at SusanDolce.com and LeoneDyer.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy O'Bear. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy O'Bear. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobear.com. That's drkathyobear.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Sherry Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We're talking about symbolism today, and for those of you out there, I'm still going to give a copy away of the iconic tarot decks, The History, Symbolism, and Design of Over 50 Decks by Sarah Bartlett. I mean, the book is filled. And the reason that I said if you really want to have a reading today about this, easy to do. 1-800-930-2819. Call in and just give us a number. You don't have to come on air, but if you want to, you can. If you're watching on Facebook, just give me a number. And then we will go to that page and we will find out exactly what that card is, that symbol. Now, some of these, I will tell you, is very fascinating to me as I went through the book, and I'm not sure if Olivia's got copies of the book to show, but, you know, what I love about this is, first of all, there are different decks. So let's just say that. And there are nuances and differences in the decks. And Benny, you and I were talking about this before the break. So just to set the record straight for everybody, because I just got a text message from someone. Let me be clear. Yes, I will correct myself. There are differences between, and let's talk about Dune, because Dune, the movie, is a book. It is a Frank Herbert novel. And for those of you, and I just want to tell you a little bit about my experience with this when this novel first came out. It came out in the 60s. And it was, in some circles, it was, okay, maybe you should read it. It didn't quite achieve that level of, let me just call it cult, pop cult. And what does pop cult mean? It means that something has so fascinated people that they begin to follow it unapologetically. How have we seen it? Well, if we want to go back in time, we've seen it through the books that Anne Rice wrote. Do you know Anne Rice, Queen of Vampires? I think she, like, set the stage, Benny. I'm just saying. People can disagree with me about this. Before Anne Rice, there was a view of vampires that came on from early, early conversations about them, kind of like Frankenstein, the book, not the movie, the book, but kind of like that view of it. But when somebody comes along and gives a different perspective on things, they change the symbolism in it. And so what do I mean by it? So you go along and you're in your early century and you're starting to see visualization and pictures depicting things in our world. Things that weren't readily available now, like this morning, Linda was telling me about Becky. And Becky is Linda's niece, Becky Searle, and so when we think about this, I don't even think that's right. I don't think it's Becky Searle. I got the whole last name, but that's not my point. So we were talking about this, and you know, and here's an account that we can go to. You know, she has a beautiful Instagram account on there. She's an artist. And we get to see her art, and we get to see all about her, and we get to see the evolution of creativity. And see, at the same time, we get to look at the symbolism of things. And this is really where we are now. What is it that we're not now? So what we're having a really hard time doing is looking at something and having more than the attention span of a gnat, right? You know what I mean. Okay, so maybe it's not you, but you know what I mean, right? I mean, how often do you pick up your phone? You got your phone. You go through it. You go through your phone. You go to your text message. You're seeing, okay, wait a minute. All right. Okay. Yep. Okay. There's that. Yep. Okay. I just saw a text that was sent to me at 8 this morning. And by the way, that's like old news because I didn't see it from one of our producers. But this is where we live. So what has caused you to stop and pause? And the more people I speak with, the more people that share what these past 24 months plus have been like, almost across the board have one thing to say. And this is interesting. You're probably thinking, what the heck does any of this have to do with symbolism? It has everything to do with that. And here's why. Before 24 months ago, we were way too busy to even pay attention. And that's not the case of everyone. That's certainly a generalization, because there are people that I know, just like I did when I was younger, working three jobs just to pay the rent. But we got to experience something unprecedented. And I don't know that we've completely processed it yet. And that is moments where we had to stop. And I was listening to a town hall the other day. I didn't catch the whole thing, but it was a small part of it from President Biden. And I caught the clip of him where they asked him a question about jobs. And he answered it in three ways. And I was actually surprised at the accuracy of his answer. He talked about three different things that have happened. And most people probably just blew by that. But he talked about these three things, and we're actually experiencing this here. He certainly talked about the fact that people were just backed off, put on their butts. He talked about the job market and how jobs went from here to here. But he's talked about something else. He said, you know what people are doing? They're rethinking their world. That $6 job per hour that you went to every day, somehow you figured out you don't have to take that job, right? And so what is it that happened to give us a global, you know, there are some people that talked about the movie The Secret and talked about the energy and vibration of sound and consciousness and how we create our day and how we go forward and are able to do that differently. But what's happened along the way is us rethinking the things in our lives that have caused us to either reflect upon a different sign, a different pathway, a different passage. And so Dune is an interesting movie. And it's interesting to me because I grew up with the book. It was one of the first books that I was invited to read because I graduated high school pretty much not being able to read or write. That's like true confessions, just saying right there. And I think back at the summer I had to go to summer school to graduate, and I think back to going to the summer school, and I was failing in high school. I did graduate, but I was failing literature, the class. Like they actually taught that in Plainfield High School. But see, that wasn't me. You know, I had moved from New York in a music program, in a music school. I moved to a school that didn't have a music program. And so here I was. I was out 48 days in my senior year. I don't know how Doris Stoner hired me at the phone company, but I know that she got me off the streets to do that. And I started to look at my life and go back. And so I had to learn how to read. At some point, I had to learn how to read because I wasn't going to be able to stay in the mailroom of the phone company very long. And so there were a handful of books that people gave me, or a handful of books that I was given. And when you think about the original book, it was I know it was in the 60s the book came out, but I didn't get to it in the 60s. But it was right up my alley, because anything sci-fi is what I related to as a kid. The symbolism in comic books, whether you're a Marvel fan or you're a DC Universe fan or you're somebody else's fan, I was a kid that latched onto symbols. Couldn't read very well, certainly didn't understand mathematics very well, and I shared a little bit about how I was learning different, but symbols, holy cow. Like, is that even a phrase, holy cow, anymore? Symbols, things that are symbolic, became imprinted, right? Now, there are so many symbols in the world right now. There's so many things to call from, to learn from. See, I do not think it is a mistake at all that we've had this time. And I'm listening to a podcast this morning. Yes, I listen to podcasts. I do podcasts. I own a podcast network. And I listen to stuff. So the deal this morning, my first message this morning, symbol. I got to call it a symbol. So I'm riding to work. What do you think the name of the podcast was? So the name of the podcast was Setback is a Setup. That was the podcast. That's even before I got in. Then I come in, and I'm doing the pre-record with Courtney. So what's Courtney talking about? Setback, right, to success. And I'm thinking, where are we going with this, universe? Where are we going with this? Where, what is this happening? Here's my big epiphany. We're going to go take a short break. My big epiphany has to do with my obsession for this quote. And if you're going to have a little obsession, it's okay. I don't down obsessions, okay? I just don't do it. I'm obsessed with bringing positive talk to the world. But here's this quote that just wouldn't leave me. And by the way, if you watch the movie, try to listen for it, because it doesn't come all at once in the movie. I don't think it does. Maybe Benny can help me out. Maybe Jessica. I don't know. But here it is. This is from Frank Herbert, who wrote the book. So like a movie was a book. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye, to see its path. Where the fear is gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. Came out in 65. There's another book that came out later, which I'll talk about when we come back. But the symbolism is clear. Fear, it's not just the mind killer. It's the heart killer. It's the soul killer. It is that thing that if we allow it into our consciousness, it will embed every cell in our body. It will bring toxicity into our world that we've never seen before. But fear, in this four-line instruction, this is like a little instruction. It tells us what to do. When we come back, are we ready to do it? Are we ready to move from setback to setup? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Dr. Pat Show.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come. Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on the process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're talking about symbolism. We're talking about what has happened in the past 24 minutes, at least for me, to change me a bit. And there are three things that I can talk about, and I consider them symbolic. Let me just say that. I consider them symbolic. Let me talk about something symbolic that I do in my life. I don't know why I do it. Don't know where it started. I don't know when it started. But there's this little thing that happens to me. So if you ever see me come in and do a show, right, Benny? And I come in and my hair is pretty much... not even like that on the side, not like that. Like, in my hair is really cut close to the scalp, like pretty much like a Sinead O'Connor deal, right? That's because somewhere in my history, or my friends say it was my past life, somewhere along the way, that when I get to those moments of having a setback, as Courtney called it today, on the show, there's an action that I automatically am drawn to do. I don't think about it. I don't think about, oh my gosh, you're going to have to be on video. Oh, like, and so this started to me early on in life, but then became more pronounced as I got older. And when I lost the job at the phone company, which was pretty much my doing, right? I mean, I just was not going to do something that felt so wrong. And it was at the time, like the Sinead O'Connor time, right? Which I said to Benny, I think is one of the saddest songs ever, ever written. You may disagree, but it is just, and you know that song didn't come from her, it came from Prince, but he didn't sing it. He gave it to her to sing. And it's one of those songs that when you hear it, you just can't, it's haunting. But it was an interesting time, and I remember going into my last large
auditorium role in the phone company. Everybody's in the auditorium. I'm an executive. I'm sitting in a row with a lot of other people, and I walk in. And by the way, my natural color hair is what you see when this grows out. And it is dark, and it is not gray, or it is not white. It is dark. That's one of the things that, you know, I picked up from my dad's side of the family, and probably will have a little gray in it now, but it's pretty much we stay like dark head. And walked in, and I had just gone down to 8th Avenue in New York, and I just went down to the east side, and I walked into a hair cutting place, and it was Russian-owned back then, and I walked in, and I talk about Igor. I know that wasn't his name. That's what I called him. Walk in, sat down in his chair, and I said, take it all off. Now, if you know me back then, I had really like hair. And as I was younger, I had really long hair. And if you see any of the pictures of me with Sam playing table tennis, you'll see it. But that was symbolic for me. See, symbol. That's what we're talking about today. That was symbolic for me. And what I've discovered is I'm so drawn to following the signs. I just love that line from Silver Lining Playbooks with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. If you read the signs. So here's my message for today as I look at this beautiful book, you know, by Sarah, and the history of symbolism. And I think about the signs. If we read the signs. So I opened the book. I shared a couple of things with you. Two shows this morning about turning setbacks to setups. And the setups are for success. Listen to the podcast all the way into work today. And then I have to ask. God, spirit, universe, goddess, life force, energy. What is mine to do? What are you telling me? And when I do that, I get an answer. I get such a strong answer that I put it in our team calendar. I don't think anybody saw it in the team calendar except Linda. And she said, what does that mean? Why do you have stay the course in the calendar every day? What the heck does that mean? Stay the course. I said, I don't know, like STC. Is that good? Stay the course. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? I said, just means stay the course. What are the symbols showing up in your life, and what do they mean to you? So what is it about a book I read? And if you think about this book, Dune, just one book. But if you think about this book, And I'm by the way, I'm back rereading it, and I have the audio version of it because I've been so drawn to this after watching the movie. I was so drawn to the symbolism. There's so much in here. So much in here for me that I have to read things a couple times. Like when I bring people on the show, I read their books before I bring them on, and then I have their books in front of me. And so what are the signs you're paying attention to, and what do they mean? So here's what I've learned about symbolism. One, if you have a sign, process it yourself before you process it with anybody else. That's like rule number one for me. That is like my number one thing. If I see a sign before I'm going to talk about it on air to all of you or mention it to somebody on the team, I've had enough time with it, and I mean sacred time with it, to absorb sort of a meaning for me. When you get the message of setback to setup within a six-hour period and you hear that message five or six times over, what it is for me, it's a call to change my perspective. If you're Jessica, you have to listen to her podcast all about, you know, perspectives and possibilities. You have to really be able to say, what can I do that's not governed by a government, not governed by my job, not governed by my relationships? What can I do And the thing that comes to mind is from this movie, as this young, what are they calling him in the book? This young, mysterious, mystical hero, so to speak, takes his hand without any information. Like, he didn't say, like, why do you want me to put my hand in that little box? Finds out it's going to be about pain, puts his hand in a box, and then realizes if he takes it out, he will die. But he doesn't take it out. And in that moment, it's interesting what I heard. So he's experiencing pain, but he's not talking about pain. See, this is so cool for me, given where I am in my life, to really understand something I missed 1965 when this book was written. One of the top best-selling books, Dune. So if you don't want to watch the movie, the book, it's like a book. It's like before movies, sometimes there are books. What was fascinating about this was he wasn't talking about his pain. He was talking about fear. Fear is the mind killer. That's what you hear him mumble. And throughout the movie, you hear more about it, but you don't really hear, I don't believe you hear the entire quote that I read before in totality. Because right now, fear is what's dividing us. It's the mind killer, but it's also the humanity killer. See, I thought about this a lot. Been doing a number of shows. We got some great hosts joining the network, and they're taking on really tough conversations. And the tough conversations are empowering and drive a pathway to freedom. But I don't really think I know of conversations in my life that haven't been tough for me sometimes to have, but have been completely a pathway to freedom. And I wondered, what happens, right? What happens when we live our lives without even knowledge of the word fear? Can you imagine for a minute not having knowledge of fear? Like it doesn't exist. Can you imagine that, a life? Can you imagine that life? And I was talking to a friend of mine and I made that statement. I said, you know, for most of my life, people say that I was fearless. I think I was just ignorant in a good way. I said, you know, I didn't have the roadblocks or the conditioning to tell me I couldn't do something. You know, I didn't have that until I got older. But what are the symbols and what are the signs that have helped guide me along the way? So I'm here in the book, and I said, you know, pick a number. For me, what happened is I open a page. And I don't always go to the same page in the book. People say, oh, you know, Pat, you pick a page in the book, you always go to the same. No, I open a page. And what I came upon in the book, I believe, is a message for us all. And it's a reminder for us. And so the reminder for us is what? What happens when you open the page and you get to the card, the tarot card, or you know, some people say tarot, some people say tarot, and you get to the card that's called the Wheel of Fortune? What happens when that is the symbol that shows up? And I start to read about this, right? And this was interesting. The symbolism is a mythical beast fallen down. The wheel represents our sins, while the Egyptian wolf god, meaning opener of the ways, climbs the wheel to evoke progress and change. Some scholars identify this figure with Anubis, who is usually shown with a black head, guiding souls to the afterlife. At the top sits a sphinx-like creature, guardian of the secret knowledge. The card signifies a turning point, an important change in one's life, or a time to open up to fresh opportunities. See, I love this. So obviously, the universe wants me to pay attention or something, right? Otherwise, why would you get a message set back to set up? go to a page, Wheel of Fortune. So the question really is, are you aware of the signs popping up every day around you? What do they represent? You know, what is it that I was so struck by the other day when I pulled out of my driveway, and I'm living in a new place now, so I've never really had this experience, because where I previously lived, there weren't a lot of oak trees, there were a lot of evergreens. But now where I live, I got this, like, maple tree in the front that turns colors, and then I got all these other gigantic, like, pine trees, and all their little needles are coming down. And so I had a moment the other day, which was really interesting. I looked in the backyard, and the entire yard, which was green because we're getting a lot of, was covered with these brown-like, I don't even know what to call them. They're not all needles, but the whole yard was covered, right? The front, when I went out and I shared this experience, I was pulling out and I looked at the street. And I live on the end of a cul-de-sac, and I was pulling out, and the street was covered with these leaves. And I had a moment because I had not seen that in a really long time. I'm from the East Coast. So if you're from the East Coast and you live places where you have trees where their leaves come down, all you think about is, I got to rake them. I got to get them up, right? But I haven't had this experience. And I was so struck by this. I was so struck by the change of seasons. When I step back later on today in my meditation, and when I'm talking about symbols, right, and I'm talking about different things that show up, am I going to be open enough to pay attention to them and do anything? Here's my discovery about this card today and about the other card that showed up. And I love that she represents in this book different cards. She also, Sarah Bartlett in this book also talks about Anne Stokes' Gothic Tarot. And so when I go and I look at this, I go to take a look at this other art, this other representation, and pull in the pages about the Queen of Swords. So are you willing to take 15 minutes out of your day and stop and see what symbols have shown up for you? And what have I learned about symbols? Here's what I've learned about symbols. First of all, don't judge them. You know, for a really long time, if you keep pulling the ant card out of the medicine book and you keep, couldn't I pull an eagle, read what the ant's about, right? So if you can step back today, just step back and take a look at all of the messages that are showing up for you. If you're looking for a job and you're on the job hunt, what are the signs that you're seeing to guide you to that perfect job? How about a relationship? There are signs. There are symbols all along the way. And yet we feel so alone sometimes. We feel like we're taking and trudging this road of destiny by ourselves. And all around us, there's so many messages that are coming forth, right? And so Swords reflects our struggles with our thoughts. I'm just going to read it. Swords reflect our struggles with our thoughts, beliefs, and reactions to others. Even though the Queen has regrets, she has acquired enough knowledge to stay strong in the face of disillusionment. Wheel of Fortune and Queen, right? Set back to set up. Opportunities. The message that I got today, there's a punchline to all of this. Getting just hit over and over and over again with quotes like fear is the mind killer. And there's so many more. But here's the thing that I stepped away with today when I reflected on all of this, including my little raccoon friend that didn't make it across the road. What if everything you needed
what if every single thing you needed in this moment, like right now, not tomorrow, not 5 minutes from now, not 10 minutes from now, but what if everything you needed to enact your vision, your dream, that next action, what if everything you need was already in front of you? See, that was my takeaway today. I had a giant epiphany. You know, we have three major things we're doing with the network. And what I realized this morning was all of the resources, all of the people, everything we need is already here. So if everything is already here for you, then what's missing? What's missing is the cleanest words. What's missing is your belief, unwavering belief that everything you need for your life, for happiness, for the job you want, for the success you want, for the health you want, for the health of your family, everything you need is already in front of you. It's already there. The only thing that stops us from seeing it is believing that one thing. And Jessica and I just went through this yesterday in a couple of ways. We looked around at a couple of team members and we said, it's already here. You know, we're going to put a job post out for one of our sales and marketing positions, and we realized, wait a minute, we already have somebody here that could do that. Or we're thinking about, you know, how can we enrich the experience to you, the listeners? And we look around and we say, wait a minute, we have the skills to introduce images in our videos, to introduce sound bites, to introduce footage, to introduce do this, to make it a better experience for you. We already have it. So today's lesson in all of this is fear is not only the mind killer, it is the soul killer. It is the heart killer. It is the thing that will stop you from taking that next step and applying to a school that somewhere in your mind you don't think you're ever going to get in. Because if I would have had that fear, I would have never applied for the schools that I applied to. My ignorance in what it took to move forward in life has helped me in so many ways because it was encrusted. And I look back and I said to Linda the other day, I said, you know, if I'd have known then in 1993 and 94 what I know now about the academic system in the United States, I wonder if I would have applied to those schools. But see, the laws of the universe, God, spirit, what you believe, is already carved out a pathway for your heart's desire. All we have to do is match the strength of unconditional faith and unwavering belief in who we are. That's how we change the world. And you may think you have no power. You may think you're an individual person. But I will tell you this. One person changing a perspective and moving from hate to love triggers a ripple effect for another person to do the same, and then another, and then another, and then another. That's the invitation I want to leave you with. So today, please look for the symbols that will make the journey easier for you. I'm Dr. Pat. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk. AM 1150 traffic update around us now. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents. Blocking situation just coming in 405 northbound at State Route 169. A recent collision looks like blocking the left hand of the lane. Good thing the State Patrol has been dispatched to the scene to take care of that collision. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. It's another hour of the Dr. Pat Show, and still on fire. Field notes from a clear mystic. The special guest, Dan Phillips.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor.
All options are on the table at this point. I'm not commenting on charges, whether they will be filed or not, or on whom.
That's Santa Fe DA Mary Carmack Altweed's response when asked whether actor Alec Baldwin will be charged in the deadly New Mexico movie set shooting. The set on a ranch outside Santa Fe has been shut down since Baldwin fired the prop gun that killed the film's cinematographer and injured the director. The U.S. Attorney General is getting grilled by Republicans over immigration caravans and his memo over threats of violence at school board meetings. During a Senate hearing, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham asked Merrick Garland if he knew about the several thousand migrants marching through Mexico towards the U.S.
I have read about it in the news media, yes. I didn't know. I think it's south of Mexico City is what I
read. Yeah, they're talking about. Apparently headed toward Texas.
Garland also defended a memo he wrote warning about violence or threats of violence at school board meetings. Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley called Garland's memo polarizing, and Texas Senator John Cornyn said it had a chilling effect on the free speech of parents. Garland insisted he's only concerned about violence and threats of it. Gabby Petito's father says he's not too concerned about what's in Brian Laundrie's notebook. Rick Hoschel has details.
Joe Petito tells TMZ the focus should instead be on domestic violence issues plaguing the country. The waterlogged notebook was found last week near Laundrie's skeletal remains in a Southwest Florida nature reserve. Laundrie's the only person of interest in Gabby's homicide after her remains were found last month in a remote Wyoming camping area. I'm Rick Hoschel.
Cops in Houston are giving an update on the investigation of three kids who were found abandoned in an apartment alongside the rotting corpse of their sibling. Sheriff Ed Gonzalez says the mother and her boyfriend are under arrest.
The Sheriff's Office Homicide Unit charged the mother's boyfriend, Brian Coulter, with the murder of the child, who was confirmed to be 8 years old at the time of his death.
The mother's also been charged in the death of the child and for tampering with evidence. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with British accents. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need, take it from a Brit.
Oi, bomb insurance bloke sucking dosh out your pocket. It's balmy. Liberty Mutual won't leave you skint, mate.
Can you just say Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need?
I think that's what I said, you blooming.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative top weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see pretty much a cloudy, wet, and windy day again today. Those winds will be out of the south to southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to 30 in selected areas. High temperatures are 54 degrees. Tonight, clouds and rain will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 50. For Thursday, lots of rain showing up. High temperatures warmer, around 60. Clouds and rain will hang around for Thursday night. Lows down to about 46. For Friday, rain to start the day out, but moving to mostly sunny skies by Friday afternoon. High temperatures around 51. Mostly clear skies by Friday night. Lows down to 40.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life to the last. get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio Drive-By. I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. I'm really excited about this show today. So, you know, in the last show, we talked about symbolism, and we talked about different things and signs that show up in our lives. And what I didn't talk about, I was saving for this show. And the reason I was saving it for this show is because I want you to hear it from somebody that doesn't just talk about how to connect the dots in life, but how to live them. We're going to be talking with Jan Phillips about Still on Fire, Field Notes from a Career Mystic. Now, what does that mean? It means so much, but it means even more than that. What it means is that in this life, we get an enormous opportunity to show up as our authentic selves. And that word is thrown around like a lot, like authenticity, authentic. Everybody on the planet knows what it feels like when you're showing up as somebody you're not. You know what it feels like, right? If you do it long enough, what happens is what? You get depressed. You end up really doing things in life that are just not filling your soul, right? If you're like my mom, life gets to be really, really hard and you take your life. But the point is you get it. You understand that you are on a journey. And that journey is going to give you an opportunity at every turn, every crack, every crevice to either deny the truth of who you are or stand tall and honor the truth of who you are. That's what today's about. That's what this book's about. That's what the world right now is inviting all of us to do. Because silence is deafening. It is so deafening. And yet at the same time, how have we learned it? Have we learned how to do this? That's why I love Still on Fire, because I love what Jan is doing. See, this is a reminder of us, right, to look at how we grew up, what our religious underpinnings were, what has wounded us, and what the spiritual healing, forgiveness, gratitude, social activism, if you're her, if you're me, what does that do to remind us that we are truly alive? Today, you're going to take this journey with us. You're going to take the journey from the beginning. What does it mean to be a queer mystic? What does it even mean, right, to be able to even say that in today's world? It is a far cry from the times I shared growing up in New York and Stonewall. But is it really? Jan, great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm just happy as heck to be here.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some stuff.
Good.
Okay, I want to start out with this. I was 6 or 7 years old, and I did something I did something in a Catholic boarding school that got me expelled.
Uh-oh.
Now, yeah, it's the good news, actually. But let's talk about our early experiences with religion, with what we come to be groomed, right? Sometimes not by choice. And, you know, that's where you start the book. You come out of the book and you talk about things. But you also remind us that the kingdom of heaven is all around us. Isn't this paradoxical?
Isn't this what?
Paradoxical.
Paradoxical. Oh, my, oh, my. Because we live in a world of duality. And what we know is, in the real reality of the supreme reality, everything's one, right? So to tease apart the dualities, to be aware always that there's two sides, that's a good thing. And then for us to be able to transcend that. But Catholicism, I didn't know how about the other religions, how they install it, but Catholicism gets installed like a software program. I find out later that it's corrupt software because it doesn't have room for me in it, right?
Right.
It just banishes the homosexuals and queers and God knows who else. But I took a hook, line, and sinker because it fed all my senses. The music was beautiful, the incense, the vestments, the rituals. Catholics do that in spades, and so we get captivated. by the spiritual trappings and by the myth. I mean, they put out mysteries and mystical truths like they're going out of style, right? Assumption of Mary into heaven, Jesus resurrecting from the dead, virgin birth, God help us. All these things which could not possibly happen, they say, oh, yeah, these happen because we're Catholic and we're the lucky ones and we're the one true faith. So a person has to really apply some spiritual intelligence as an adult and reckon with, is this a faith? Are these doctrines and dogmas something that's meaningful to me or something that's not? And so for me, no, they're not meaningful. I appreciate from my youth that I was introduced to the great mysteries, but that religion, it banished me. I'll tell you what, I couldn't get absolution from my confessor as long as I continued to live a gay life. So it's dangerous and harmful to so many people.
And let's talk about the danger and harmfulness, because we now know religion or non-religion, the guilt, the shame, and the disconnection from humanity that people in the LGBTQAI community, people that know who they are and are faced with not accepted, not accepted, not accepted, you're different, you're not enough, you're different, you're not enough. And this is a resounding message across the board, which is also fueled by the very tenets of religion everywhere.
It's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basis of it, whether you're in the Middle East, it's Islam,
mm-hmm.
whether you're in Africa, it's Protestant and Catholic missionaries that have gone over there and colonized those mines. And they're actually killing more gays than anyone else that I know of. Africa is a terrible place to try and live out life as a queer person. You're very apt to get murdered. And same in the Middle East, right? So, and that's why... That's why gay teenagers are so at risk right now that, you know, they're four times more likely to commit suicide than mm-hmm. a little straight kid. Because we know, you sense it coming in. It's like in the air we breathe is homophobic particles.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about this, because you and I both share something in common. We've been saved. And I don't mean saved religiously, but saved by another person who understood sort of a part of our journey, who had a sense of who we were and saved us from the ultimate action of taking a life or taking our own lives, right? And, you know, when we think about that, it shapes us. What happened to you? What was the path you went on that somebody saw your pain and reached out and gave you a hand?
Well, I was 12 when I became suicidal, because that was the early reckoning as we advanced towards puberty and finally figure out, oh, my God, I fall in love with girls. I knew that was bad news. So I decided I should take my own life, because everywhere you look, there's no safe place. The church thinks gays are bad. Whole culture does, families do. It's everywhere you look, there's nobody saying, you're okay, honey. So I'm in sixth grade, depressed as all get out, walking with my head down, considering how am I going to kill myself. And my nun, Sister Helen Charles, thinks something's wrong with me and she's going to figure it out and save my life. Which I don't know that she figured it out, but she called my mom and said, we're going to try this thing on your daughter. It's called positive reinforcement. And my mom wasn't all that enthusiastic, because she was one of 14 kids, and you don't want to pick one out and, you know, put all this praise and affirmation in their path. But the nun did it in spades over and over every day. Oh, Dan, what a great athlete you are. You're so bright. Like, you're such a good poet. You're a great artist, all this and that. First, I thought she was crazy. But she kept doing it. And so I don't know how long it took. Let's just say a month in, I woke up one day, and it had happened. That sad, sick little caterpillar had turned into a butterfly because of Sister Helen Charles. And that was the day I decided to be a nun, because it was like when I connected the dots, how come now I realize I'm beautiful, I'm intelligent, I'm a leader, I'm a strong person, I'm okay. It's because of Sister Helen Charles. What's the thing about her? I don't know. They must have a magic wand underneath that habit. But I'm going to be one, because none save kids' lives. So I had to wait for 6 years, because I was 12, and at 18 I entered the convent. But the good news is at 18 I entered the convent. The bad news was I was still queer. So that could not work in there, because we know, what do we do? What do women do at age 18? We explore our sexuality, begin to want to be touched and embraced.
Yeah.
We want to understand the mystery of, you know, sexual relationships.
Yeah.
So biologically, I couldn't help myself, right? So, of course, I fell in love with a novice right off the bat. And in the convent, that doesn't work. They have all these schemes. You have to read the book in order to see how weird they got and why I was forced into somebody's bedroom because my superiors were so, I don't know, short-sighted. But I think they actually escalated.
Yeah, I was going to say, after reading it, I was going to say, like the opposite, like happened right there.
Exactly. You can no longer see this novice. You can't look at her if you pass her in the hall. Keep custody of the eyes. Only look from her knees down. It was like, are you kidding me? Never go into her bedroom. Never talk. It was like, oh, man. I got to figure out my way around this.
Well, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But even more so, you know, when we're talking about this, you say this several times in the book in different ways. You know, these practices, these principles are really archaic in so many ways. And, you know, I was talking the other day, I was doing a show on racism, and we were just talking, and I said, you know, it's really interesting, the fascination of where we are today. And I made a comment that I got a bunch of emails about, and I said something like, there are multiple generations that don't know what it's like not to have freedom. Multiple generations of women, I only talked about women, that don't quite understand or haven't quite experienced yet what it's like to walk into a room and have your boss start at every meeting with a dirty joke, or walk into a room and have somebody put something on your desk because you're part of the gay community, or worse than that, do something horrific to you, or live in fear every time you walk down your neighborhood, right? You know, you have the potential of having a Matthew Shepard experience, or have never had to stand and say, I'm sitting in a bar that you've just invaded and you are not going to handcuff me and put me in your paddy wagon. You're not going to do that. On the other hand, you know, we have generations now that have come forward and said, we're going to fight for the right to do this. But part of this is understanding the spiritual journey, as you've described in the book, because I think we have the illusion that the fight is over. But your book says still on fire. What fires you up every day?
Well, two things. One, from the inside, I get fired up in a very positive way in my spiritual practice. I start out every morning, get up, light the candle, and my cup of coffee right on the bedstand. You have to reimagine the divine every day because our brains have been so wired by the culture that the default mode is God is outside us. So I'm rewiring my brain, but I do it every single day, and I claim and profess that God is the oxygen in my blood, God is the air in my lungs, God is the air that I breathe. And so I don't have any image any longer of the Sistine Chapel image where there's two men, of course, God and Adam. I think they should cover that Sistine Chapel with mirrors. People seeking God should only see themselves. So that fires me up in the morning because sometimes it's like having an invisible dance partner. But I am so in love with that. It's like my creative collaborator, right? Mm-hmm. Greater than me, but still I am that. It is me. We are one. So what we're creating in the world is positive, light-filled, and passionate. So I'm on fire about that in a positive way. And then after my practice is over, then I go to my email and read the news. So I get CNN headlines, I get all the headlines. And now I'm in fire for other reasons.
Right.
Right. And we have to identify. There's so many travesties occurring. We have to identify which one is it. Which one has my name on it? Because if you're in a room with five people and you say, what global crisis is most breaking your heart open? Someone's going to say puppy mills. Someone will say whales. Someone will say the plastic in the ocean, right? I might say rainforest. The other day I said rainforest. It was in my prayer time. I just said rainforest. And usually I try to figure out before I get out of bed every day, what am I going to do that's going to be of service? Because I offer my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. I offer my service. I want to use my body in the service of something good. So when I considered, oh, my heavens, if it's the rainforest, what am I going to do? And I was in a quandary about that because, I live in a border town. I'm in San Diego. So easy when you say the crisis is the migrants, and Jewish Family Services has a program where I volunteer and drive migrants to the airport, blah, blah, blah. That's an easy connect. But the rainforest was like, oh, man, that's really troubling me because they're burning down the Amazon rainforest to make room for cattle for our burgers. It's just a travesty.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what. I closed out my prayers. I opened up my email, and the first email in my box is from Rainforest Alliance. I go, oh, man, this is my prayers. And I just donated $25. So we pretty much, how we project our thoughts and intentions and desires outward causes the universe to bring things in our path that are responsive to that.
Yeah.
That's like the dance that we're in.
I love it. And I love the dance that you invite us to in the book. First of all, thank you for sharing your journey and your story. Because, I've been doing this for 18 years. Very accidentally dialed a phone number, paid for a lot of money for an hour of airtime back in 2003 on the internet. And I never looked back.
Yeah.
And in 2009 and 10 started the Transformation Network and Transformation Talk Radio, which you're on. Never looked back.
Good.
But underneath all of that was a lifetime of what you write in your book. And I was struck by a couple things. There are a couple of images in the book. I had to laugh a little bit. And I don't remember what year the photo was from in the book. It's the photo you took, and it's the one that says homosexual agenda. And it says spend time with the family, be treated equally, buy milk.
Yeah.
And I looked at that, and I thought for a minute, this is going to sound odd. How has
the gay, and let me just call it the gay movement,
yeah,
for lack of spelling out all the letters. But how has this movement succeeded where others have failed? And I said that the other day, and people were like, no, it didn't. I said, understand what I'm saying. I didn't say we are there. I'm not saying we got there yet. You know, it's the question, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. What is it that has happened to turn things around in my lifetime that I never thought I would see? From the moment I heard Gloria Steinem in a protest rally, just arguing with the once now organization and making the statement, we are, just Gloria with the big glasses, we are all lesbians. What? And I got to interview her later. But when I saw this sign, I had to reflect today on what happened to move the dial as quickly as it moved. And I'm not saying we didn't take one step forward and two step backs.
Yep.
But for you and I to be doing a show and talking about exactly what we're talking about and talking about it unapologetically,
yeah,
and for you to share your story has to be foundational cement for what we need to build, right?
Yes. You know, people started coming out big time. That happened when Gloria Steinem first took the stage and now was founded by Betty Friedan.
Yeah.
They called us lesbians the Lavender Menace. And they implored us to not show up with
totally
the Lavender Menace. But lesbians did not do that. We did not behave, and we took our places at the table as lesbians. And that did not hinder the movement. I didn't recall Gloria said we're all lesbians.
Yes, that was her response when the National Organization of Women didn't want lesbians to join.
Good for her.
Like, what were we going to do? Have to sign an affidavit? But, you know, the question for me is in the underpinnings of really staying the course. And what I love about the conversation in your book is we're talking about not trading in our spiritual journey because of what somebody else says, what somebody else does, what laws get passed, what laws don't get passed, but finding our spiritual home. And, you know, for me, I can, every time I do a talk on spirituality, I refer to myself, my life, as a spiritual hitchhiker. That's me.
That's a good one.
I couldn't find my place. But this book and what you're writing gives us reason not to give up.
Well, recall I was 20 years spiritually homeless. That I get excommunicated in 1969. In 1989, my psychic nun friend says, Jan, your life can never work if you don't have a spiritual practice. It can be ordinary, but it can never be extraordinary. You can never fulfill the reason you came to Earth if you do not have a spiritual practice. So 20 years of nothing but kind of rage, I'd say. Rage, anger, disillusion, disenchantment about all things religion. Just not even on my radar. You know, did pagan ceremonies with witches, you know, for lack of anything else. And when I started my spiritual practice, that was the first time it started happening to me that I felt like a satellite dish to supreme intelligence.
Yeah.
It says, you know, Emily Dickinson has this great line, the only news I get is bulletins all day from immortality. And when I read that, I thought, oh, Emily, she's a mystic. She takes her bulletins from immortality all day and transforms them into 13,000 poems. She's agoraphobic. She's afraid to even go out of her bedroom practically. But she creates, she writes like in a torrent, and she creates beautiful, mysterious poetry. And so for me, every day, I sit there with my hands like this, saying, I'm your satellite dish. I'm receiving you. Speak to me. Hello. I'm taking the call. This is our time. You know, it's not like that hour out of the day is the only time I'm getting pelleted, penetrated by thought from mind at large. That happens 24/7. But tuning in is the essential ingredient. So if you do not, imagine this, you fall madly in love with somebody. And that person calls you and says, we're so madly in love. I can't wait to see you. When can we have our powwow? And you say, sorry, I don't have time. It's just like, what? That doesn't make any sense. If you're truly in love with someone, you make time, right? People say to me all the time, I don't have time to meditate. And I'm like, oh, I don't have time to talk to you. Right? Who's in charge of your time? That's what I want to know. Time is all we have. We're born, we have time, we die. So if you give your time to somebody else, if you let somebody else determine what you're going to do, well, God help you.
Yeah, I got to tell you, we're going to take a short break when we come back. We're going to jump right to the 100th monkey because, you know, there's so much to speak with you about because the life, the story, the journey, the service, the pilgrimage, there is a level of life's path that you demonstrate and show in this book. I mean, there are many, many things that people can say about it, but Still on Fire is a message for where we're living in now. It is a time we're living in now. I have started an informal survey, and every time I mention it, everybody on my team, their eyes roll. They're like, here, she's going to bring it up again. She's just going to talk about it again. And I started a survey, and I ask women that I talk to, I say, look, before we even talk, I got one question for you. Are you aware that the government had the opportunity to give you equal pay? Are you aware of that? I don't hear anything. The pin drops. I said, are you aware that the government also denied that you have equal pay about 2 months ago? And you can hear a pin drop. When we come back, the question is, when you are seeing now from the heart, the soul of my very special guest today, when you are in that moment, when you are still on fire and you're reading Field Notes from a Queer Mystic by Jan Phillips, my very special guest, when you hear Still on Fire, are you willing to move in the yes direction? Because when you don't have time to meditate, you're really saying, I don't really believe in that. When we come back, what's your 100th monkey? What is your 100th, fill in the blanks on your own? Because where we are right now, this is not a time for everybody to go to sleep. Nope, it's not all good, not all bad, but it's certainly more than that. Where can you plant your spiritual connection and let it grow? We're going to take a short break. Everybody, we'll be right back.
It's just a girl and she's on fire.
Ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Is your life stressful and unfulfilling? Would you like to make changes, but you don't know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. I'd like to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer. This is a memoir with questions to help you change your story and live a life that's more pleasing to you. For more information or to purchase this fabulous book, please go to transformationtalkradio.com or go to carlgreer.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the reality of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with a fantasy.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Unity Books has brought us Still on Fire, Field Notes from a Career Mystic, Jan Phillips, my very special guest today. I also want everybody to know that if you want to find out more about Jan, we're going to make sure you do that. If you want to get a copy of the book, we're going to make sure you do that as well. And so for those of you tuning in, let me just say this. You can go to janphillips.com. That's Jan, J-A-N, Phillips, with an S, .com. And you're going to be able to take a look at more than just the book. You're going to be able to really see a life purposeful passion and what it means to be somebody that took these early life experiences and never really looked back except to write about it. You know, when you think about her 11 award-winning books, A Thought Leader, connecting all the dots of spiritual intelligence by sharing her own personal story, but also a personal story that allows us to understand that we are not alone when we take this journey. We're not alone when we feel left out or not included. We're not alone. And no matter how hard we try, unless somehow you choose to change yourself, which is close to impossible to do and what we're talking about today, you have to find a way to heal. You have to find a way to peace. You know, you have to find a way. Dot, fill in blank. That's what this book is about. That's also what Jan's book and work is about. You know, her books have been endorsed by pretty much all the people you know and you've heard on the show. But this book in particular is a book for our time. And the reason I say that, Jan, that this is a book for our time, is it has to do with what I shared with you during the break. It has to do with us not talking about what the journey has been like, what has been fought for, what is at risk of losing, and what the path of freedom is for people that are not really willing to pretend to be something or do something they're not. And boy, when you do that, Jan, that just doesn't feel good. It hurts, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The 100th monkey I want to talk about, because
you talk about a small story that turned your life upside down. We all have them. We have them. I've been reflecting on them more than once. But there's a gift in some of these life-changing events, aren't there? Even if they're painful.
Yes. Especially if they're painful.
Let's talk about this one. And the reason I'm really struck by it is because one of the dates you reference in the book is Linda, my best friend's birthday. And so I glommed on to that, September 20th. And, you know, and there are so many things that I think about that we could see as setbacks that would cause us to lose hope. What have you discovered about overcoming obstacles and challenges?
Boy, that's a good one. You know, I think a lot. I think of a lot of people who, you know, I teach around the country, right? So I always have groups of 40, 50 people in front of me. The commonest thing, I think, is that people don't quite know how to find their path. And they sit there and they hear me talk and they have this story in their mind. Oh, she's so smart. She knows everything. She's the one. Lucky her. Unlucky me. And they can't figure out how, if they want to do this, if they want to be a retreat director, if they want to write a book, it's the same formula. It's the same recipe. Take a look at what has happened to you since your first memories. Now, we already know you were about 6 or 7 when you had your first tragedy occur, or maybe you were even younger, but age 6, you know, and then all of us, it takes some time to do this. You know, imagine your life as a spiral. You take a pencil, you start in the middle, and you just go memories. The memories that our bodies hold, our cellular memories, are big because those things happen to us at the invitation of our soul because we came here to chiseled into a masterpiece. Chiseled doesn't feel good, right? But it's those turbulent experiences that cause us to know something. That yours was in trouble because I'm in a conversation with invisible forces, right?
Yeah.
That should have been encouraged, in question. It should have been inquired into. But instead, not, because the culture is not advanced and it's not evolved. But that's why I deal with evolutionary creativity. It's different than the creativity of the Renaissance. It's not just about creating a thing. It's not just about creating a book. It's about creating a book that helps the whole human tribe better understand our trajectory. And so I try to tell everybody, if you do your own work, like, how can I write a memoir? Should I write a memoir? And it's like, I don't know, do your spiral. See, if you look at, all right, age 6, and then first Holy Communion, and then your first love affair, your first kiss, the marriage, the rape, the violence, the abuse, whatever. Some of it's good, good and bad terms. That's duality again. Some of it feels good and some of it doesn't, but it's all on your spiral. If you look at every one of those events and say, this took something from me and it gave something to me, and if you can tease out what it was, then you are ready to tell that story in whatever form. Used to be the only thing available to us to share our stories was books. But that's not the case. You have Transformation Talk Radio. You do it by talking live. You've got a team that supports you. I do it by making YouTube videos. I have a YouTube channel. People do it in all kinds of different ways. You could do poetry reading, turn it into whatever you want. But the first step is taking a look at everything that happened to you and how did you process it? Because it happened for you and it happened through you. And I think the biggest story in the book, it took me 20 years to get over that obstacle of feeling bad about myself because I'm kicked out of the convent and excommunicated from my church.
Yep.
I can't heal myself. 20 years, talk therapy, all kind, you know, get a letter from my convent saying, why did you actually do this to me? Finally, I went to talk to the nun who was the, you know, superior, the director of the whole mother house, 400 sisters, and she was a head honcho. And she had rotated out of leadership, was living in Syracuse, New York. I went to see her, and it's because of that conversation where I asked her, would you just let me tell you the story, and then maybe because you're witnessing it, it could help me reconcile or understand something new. And she goes, yes, sister, I'll do that. I tell her the whole story from the age of 12, getting kicked out, not being able to get it, my heart fixed after that terrible rejection. And she asked two questions, which would I forgive her for this terrible injustice on her watch? Yes, I do forgive you. Would I forgive the entire community, Sisters of St. Joseph of Corona? Yes, I forgive the entire community. And then some kind of magic happened, like a bolt of lightning. And my whole thinking about it got shifted where it occurred to me, oh, my God, I should be thanking them for the privilege of 2 years of a monastic experience. They were smart enough to know I didn't belong there. I'm no kind of nun. That's very clear. And then they let me go. But they let me come in and get my spiritual underpinnings, find my spiritual teachers, understand community, know the formula for bliss, which is equal parts in my day of work, prayer, solitude, and community. So get all that figured out, and then they can let me go. And so then I realized, oh, my God, this is the other side of the story. It wasn't a country western tune anymore about how they done me wrong. It was like, I'm so thankful for you for that opportunity. Because imagine the privilege of spending 2 years in a monastery. And then driving home, I have this other discovery, which is I saw every juncture where I made decisions in that novitiate that would get me kicked out. I did kiss Sister So-and-so. I did slip into her bedroom. I did smoke cigarettes in the woods. I did steal wine. Right? So that's how I know now. Life just doesn't happen to us. It happens through us, and it happens for us. And so you look at your stories and figure out that, and you can sit in the winner's seat.
Yeah, I love that you share that because I think that's one of the greatest discoveries that we can make is to understand that we are active players in our lives.
Yeah.
Good, bad, ugly, whatever it looks like, whatever you want to call it, we are the active player in our lives. You know, I used to talk about my job loss from the phone company. I said, I lost my job. Now when I look back, is I created the scenario to leave there because I was meant to leave there. I was never meant to retire from that place. That was not going to be my life's path. And if I needed to be, you know, that, you know what, crazy to get downsized after I was the person in charge of the program, that was by my doing. I also realized, too, you know, as I've continued to read through your book, you talk about this journey leading towards, you know, a pilgrimage with the heart chakra, but also a way to find the balance of things. And the harmony of things. And so often there's a confusion, and I want to talk with you about that in the time we have left. There's a confusion between seeking peace and harmony and hanging up your activism swords. And so that's what I thought for a number of years. I thought, okay, grew up as an activist. My stepmom, I got to tell you, she was the lifesaver for me. She was like this. She was my Southern Baptist, young, first child 12, second child 13, fireball. And there was no way you were going to tell her
Mother Superior was going to tell her before she became my stepmom that it was wrong for me to talk to whoever I wanted to talk to.
Right.
But there's a muscle that gets built from these challenges and these obstacles. And when you come out and you write a story like this, you know, people ask interesting questions. I don't have a question about why you call yourself a queer mystic. I don't have that question, but I bet a lot of people do. I bet a lot of people want to know from you why this is important to you. I know why it's important to you because I know the journey that this takes. But for yourself now, there's a whole lot of healing we got to figure out how to get on here. And if we don't start that healing within ourselves, as my mama used to say, it's going to be a sad day in hell. What would you say as we kind of move forward here? What would you say to people that have yet to find the power of their heart chakra?
Well, first off, however we are, period, is perfect. That we're an expression. I think of, you know, Teilhard de Chardin talked about the materialization of the divine, the divinization of matter, right? So that cycle is going on all the time. I think of, you know, how energy, there's only energy, and it takes two forms. It's either a wave or it's a particle. When it's a wave, you can't see it. When it's a particle, you can, because it's material. And so I'm the particle version of the divine wave. When you see it, it's us. It's Earth. It's the cosmos. It's the breath of God, right? And I think of it, I think of God as supreme intelligence, and I think of the mother as supreme love. And intelligence and love got married and had a baby, and that's the cosmos. And we're the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cannot do anything, really, that's going to trip that up. By default, we are divine beings, right? The only thing is, and you referred to this earlier, is letting other people dissuade us from doing the real right thing. You know, no parent wants their kid to be gay because their thought is, uh-oh, they're in danger. Everybody knows gays are in danger. That's what it's about. It's not so much about, oh, I think it's very knee-jerk. Oh, no, the world's not a safe place for my kid. So let this be a phase, Jan. Quick, through this phase quick and hurry up and get married, right? Because I want you safe. It's well-intentioned, but if anybody tries to discourage you from the path you want to go on, you know, I even asked the nun, the woman who I was lovers with in our adult lives and lived with for 5 years, she was my high school English teacher, and nothing ever happened when I was a teen, but she taught me, and I said, I'm going into the convent, will you be my sponsor? And she said, no, you don't want to go into the convent because it'll kill you. They'll break your spirit. It's not the place for you. She knew better than I did. But I was like, no, no matter what you say, I'm going. And if you don't be my sponsor, I'll find someone who does. So I was headstrong at that early age because my whole agenda was save kids' lives, right? And so that nun tried really hard. If I had a weak moment or for whatever reason thinking somebody else knows better about my life than me, I would have said, all right, maybe I'll be a nurse or a teacher. But no. And so it's important for all of us, particularly women, to figure out what we love to do and then learn to do that well and then do it in the service of the people.
Yeah.
And so that's the invitation to all of us. We came here to be great. We came here to be a light in the world. And so if you are of the opinion that you're not the light in the world that you want to be, it's probably because you've accumulated so much debris from other people's bad thoughts. It's what I talk about in my TED Talk, right? And it's like this. We're all born like 100-watt bulbs. We're all the same illumination. But what happens is as we go through time, we accept other people's ideas for us, and it comes like dirt and debris and covers our bulbs. So you get some in fifth grade being like 40 watts. Everybody knows what it's like to have lunch with a 10-watt person. You're pretty much unfriended them by now because we don't have time. We don't have time for people who are not bright and strong and courageous. So what we have to do is figure out how do I separate myself from those inherited thoughts that hurt me and that are harmful and that come from outside of me. How do I stop thinking those thoughts? And that's a process. And some people may need therapy. Some people just might need to read my books because every one of my books is about that. I have Divining the Body, how to stop hating your body, how to figure out why it's important to make a commitment to your creativity. So there's always an answer.
You know, Jan, first of all, thank you for joining us here today. And by the way, please let folks know how they can get a copy of this book, how they can get a copy of the other books, and also about your foundation. And thank you so much for reminding all of us of what it really, really means to choose a pathway of freedom, even if sometimes it doesn't look like we're going to get there. So please tell us how to find out more about you, where you're going to be, what you're up to, and how to get a copy of the book.
Well, I would say first just go to janphillips.com and put your name on my mailing list. It's an email mailing list, and you'll hear from me. Every Sunday morning I send out, in honor of Emily Dickinson, Bulletins from Immortality, short little thing every Sunday morning to support you and cheer you on in your becoming your authentic self. And then you'll be in my circle, and then I send out once a month a newsletter saying this is where I'm going to be, like I'm going to Seattle in the spring. I had a whole book tour plan, which I just canceled because of COVID, but I say I'm doing retreats here in the Midwest, here in Massachusetts, so if wherever you live, you'll know when I'm coming to your community. And then we can, who knows, meet for lunch or pizza and a beer.
I love it. Jan, thank you so much. Thank you so much for reminding us we have the fire within. Thank you so much for that. I'd love to know your personal message. I'd love to know what you'd like to leave us with today.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, they should have warned you about me.
People can keep reading books, but people don't have to. Because the next book I'm doing is called Stop Seeking, Start Finding. Because whatever you're looking for, it's right in here. It's right inside. It's right on the other side of your T-shirt, right? It's in your flesh and bones. So figure out how to harvest the fields of your own dreams. Look inside. See what you know. You might need a thought partner for this.
Yeah.
You know, it might help to call a book club. Read this book together. But human interaction with other women is really important because the wisdom is within us, but we need to hear ourselves articulate it in order to know what we're thinking. And maybe introverts can figure that out, but I can't ever know what I'm thinking until somebody asks me. So, to be part of circles of support. Get on my mailing list, and I'll see you when I come to your community.
Yeah, I just did. And by the way, I'm an extreme introvert, and no, we don't get it either. even as extreme of an introvert as I am, witnessing is important.
The views expressed on this program are those of the...